Let's pause and pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for being our God and that you are alive and you are risen from the dead. And we come and bow our hearts to you. Come, Lord, and open your word to us and teach us and guide us. Lord, we trust you to feed us manna from heaven today, God. Thank you for being so faithful. Thank you for giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So Lord, bless your word here today as we open it, and may you inspire us and encourage us and guide us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessing to be here with everyone and seeing everyone on a Sunday again. I always look forward to Sunday, getting inspired, getting together and talking with fellow believers, people who are all striving for the same goal, and how God works through different people in different ways, and yet he is Lord of the church. He's the great God, and even this morning while Gerald was sharing, I was really blessed with the words and how Hezekiah took those things and destroyed the wickedness and purged it out. And what a great transformation. It was like getting Israel converted again. And just the marvelous ways God works if we're willing. And then the sadness of the next generation is gone. And I'm like, what in the world happened? Only 12 years old, beginning to reign. I'm sure he saw his dad seek the Lord. I'm sure he was there when a lot of it took place, maybe. But yeah, puts a seriousness in our hearts, our minds, to not take the faith for granted, the gospel for granted. Our children need to get converted. They need to get right with God and seek God. So today I was seeking the Lord on what to share, and my thoughts were sort of drawn to faith and believing. Wasn't quite sure what to title it, but I might write it up here. So it's faith, we don't see, but yet we choose to believe. As we think of faith, what does comes to your mind when you think of faith? Faith in general, perhaps, or yeah. What does your mind come up with? Trust. Anyone else? Yes. A commitment to believe. And is there anyone else? I don't want to. Yes. That's right. That's right. And I just looked at the definition in Strong's. It's a faithfulness, it's a belief, a trust, and with an implication that actions based on what they trust, they follow. So if you trust something, you will work it out or you will follow it, in a sense. So it's very important that we we sort of get the right mindset, I guess. You know, faith is not something just by accident or I'll take a chance and jump out in faith. Faith is something that is actually solid if it is on the Word of God and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And believing is right along with that. The Greek word for faith is pistis, and believe is pistio, something like that. And so the pistio is taken from pistis, so it's actually sort of the same word, just a little bit different angle, could you say. It means to believe, means to put one's faith in and to trust. And Vine says of faith, it's primarily a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. Conviction based upon hearing. And the word faith, there's also different definitions that come up, like the word credence. Credence is an acceptance, a support, or a belief that something is actually true. For instance, let's say, hey, I heard that there's a windstorm and it blew the Brubaker's barn flat and there was a big devastation. I'm like, oh, it can't be true. You know, how can that happen? And then someone shows me a picture or a video. Hey, this is actually what happened. And that is more like proof that it was actually so. And faith is not something that we have to have all our, like 1 through 10, see all the whole sequence, and now we can believe it. You know, there's actually evidence for everything. Where is our faith? You know, it's just, well, it's just so, you know, you just take it at face value. But faith is something that we can't actually maybe see perhaps the end. But yet, if our faith is in Jesus, it can be solid. faith is more than a faith is more than a passive persuasion. It is a firm confidence that result in action. That result in an action if we actually believe it. And I was going to ask you a question maybe for a few answers. What are some of the things from God's Word that we take by faith? What are some things that the Bible says that we take by faith? There is a heaven. That's right. Creation, yes. Any more? Yes, there will be a judgment day. Resurrection of Jesus. We weren't there. We didn't see it. But we believe it by faith. Yes, God always was. Yes. Yeah, there's many things in the Bible that we just take by faith. You know, we believe it that way, you know, even though we actually didn't see it, perhaps. We didn't see creation. But we believe it by faith. And is it faith when I say I do believe in God, but I would like to see more of His promises fulfilled, a little bit more evidence just to make sure that, you know, the Bible is actually true, you know. Is that faith? If I'm saying, hey, you know, I believe in God, but yet I would like to see this unfold yet before I give myself in faith. I don't think that's faith. Faith is putting our trust in Jesus, in the gospel, and knowing that He is God and He is supreme. Faith is believing in God, who He is. It's not faith if He has to prove to me in my own selfish mindset, perhaps, of who he is. God won't change just because I want him to be a certain way. Why don't we turn to Hebrews 11, sort of our main text here, and we could spend the whole message here in this chapter, I believe. We'll read verse 1 through 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which do... So the things that were which are seen were made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he began, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I have a couple points here. And the first point is that we must believe that God exists, and that he rewards those who seek him, who follow him. That's a promise. And we must believe God in that way. And in John, there's a couple of verses I'll read in John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. Then said they unto him, this was the Jews, what should we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. So this is the work of God, that we believe on him whom he has sent. Believing in Jesus Christ. Believing that Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only hope. He's the only way that we can even attempt to get right with God, is through the blood of Jesus. Then maybe I'll just go down through here and just pick out a few through the chapter here, and just seeing how these men walked by faith, and they didn't see the end of the promise. They didn't see the end, what was God was perhaps leading them to. And and I'll just start by verse 7 here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Noah built an ark by God's command. God was like, we're going to send a flood. We're going to destroy the world. But there was one righteous family, one righteous guy, Noah and his family, and how God preserved Noah through the flood. But Noah had to get some stuff together. He couldn't just like, well, maybe, you know, I think it's going to rain, you know. Okay, boys, let's go start building an ark. But I think Noah was convinced. They worked years. I mean, longer than most of us will ever live. It's unbelievable the faith that Noah had for the saving of his house. And because God said it. And he acted upon it. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go to a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. So Abraham is perhaps maybe the father of faith, and all that whole story, and how he believed in God even though the promises was falling short, and yet God would establish his promise with him, his covenant, and he believed God. And then there's a verse down at the end of the chapter which sort of stood out to me. And all these other men of faith, it was Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and how God's people forsook Egypt and how they kept the Passover, God's commandment that the firstborn is going to be dying if they don't put the blood on the doorpost and on the mantle, and how they did all these things by faith. And God spared them and God led them. And they passed through the Dead Sea on dry land. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And some of these stories we know, you know, we hear them on and on, but just a good reminder for us, like, we see them hindsight. We see what happened. But there, being in the thick of it, you know, they actually had to work it out. They actually had to move and walk by faith. And by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And all these, in the last two verses, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. So God is using us yet today as part of his plan, part of his promises, perhaps maybe to Abraham, like the children, like the sand of his descendants, like the sand of the sea. Like without us, some of these promises can't be fulfilled. And even other promises in the Bible, God is still using us today to work out his plan for his kingdom, for his people. So let's remember that as we go through here, and that God has so many things for us and his children that we can be involved in. We're part of his kingdom. It's not just the Bible times or, you know, the great, the prophets and how Jesus came and in that time area, but it is for us today how you and I can be a part of God's kingdom. But it takes faith. We need to walk by faith. And faith comes by hearing God's word. That's the second point I have. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Read verse 8 through 17 maybe. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Greek, the Jew, and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So hearing has a big part to it. There's different verses in the Bible that talks about hearing. And if we hear God's word, let's open our ears, let's open our hearts to it. And in And as we read God's word, I think our faith grows if we read the Bible and we just take it for what it says. Take it for me and believe it. And it is like something that is solid. We know it is true. And if we're grounded in God's word, it is something that won't change. His word is forever settled in heaven. And we just take it and believe it for what it says. Who God is, the Bible, and his word to us. And Jesus, he meant every word he said. And and who are we? And it talks about us through God's word. We're made in his image, and we're born with a need. We're born sinful. And we all have that need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Bible is something that is solid. God's word will never change. And we can just cast our lives upon that. And it is solid. There's an example that I thought I'd share. It was of a ladder. A lot of you, I'm sure, use ladders about every day. An extension ladder, let's say we have to lean it up against something and we want to trim some branches, and we take the thing out, set it up, and set it out by the little branches, you know, right at the edge, you know. Who's going to want to climb up there and trim that branch off? It's not very solid, you know. That branch could just whip out of the way and you'd be flying down. But take the ladder and take it in against the tree trunk, in against something that is solid. You know it won't move. Then it's safe. I'm going to read a couple verses in Hebrews 4, verse 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not be mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, that is sort of saying, we can hear God's word. We can come to church every Sunday, perhaps. And if we don't have faith, it won't do anything for us. And that's a good, good reminder for us, especially us growing up in a Christian home, perhaps, and we just go to church every Sunday, you know, we're it's the thing to do. You know, we've always done it. But if we don't have faith, if we don't hear God's word by faith, and if we don't believe it, it won't profit us anything. So Lord, help us. And in we can say, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, but there's no fruit. In James 2, it says, the devils also believe and tremble. So the devil even trembles at God and of his great wrath to come. So I think that should be perhaps awakening to us to hear God's word by faith. The third point I have is saved by grace through faith. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. God's grace, God's Spirit can come into our hearts and change us and make us a new man. But it takes faith. It takes a believing that if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I remember when I was younger, I knew these verses and I wanted to get right with God, and not sure when or how really, but and I remember that I did pray some by myself a few times, and I wanted to do what is right, but yet it just didn't really seem to be clear. And then I was like, well, you know, these verses, you know, he said if we confess our sins, he's faithful. But yet there was things that I wasn't willing to let go of, the things that I didn't confess, till I was totally done with who I was, of my way, and just dumping everything out, confessing everything, and praise God that he did save me. He did change me into a new man. And remember how the guilt of sin and just who I was just rolled away, and how God changed me into a new man. But it's through faith. The next point I have is justified by faith. We're saved by grace through faith, and we're also justified. Maybe perhaps the same, a little bit different angle maybe. In Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access through faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We're justified. We're made right. We're in right standing with God now. Like in a courtroom, there's usually a person that is condemned guilty, or he's perhaps done some evil things or bad things, and he's there before the judge, and the judge would perhaps declare him innocent. Maybe it was a different man, you know, it wasn't this man. They had evidence that was someone else, and he's declared innocent. He's free from, he was going to be thrown into prison for maybe a lifetime, and it was just a bad situation, but he's declared innocent. That's what Jesus is giving us if we have faith. We're justified by our faith in him. And we're not guilty before God for our sin, even though we don't deserve his grace, his favor toward us. He is, through his blood and our faith in him, we are in right standing with him. That's amazing. And the challenge of walking by faith in that, there's verses in Galatians 3, how the Galatians began in the Spirit, began walking with God, and then they want to work out their faith in by the law and by works again. And Paul called them foolish. So how do we get God's Spirit? How do we get his Spirit? Is it by trying to do enough good things, you know, coming to church all the time and doing the right things and trying to be a good boy, wearing the right clothes, always try to appear right before men? Can we merit enough good things, or is it by His Spirit coming into our hearts by faith if we believe in Him. I think God wants to give His Spirit. He wants us to come and put our trust in Him. And yet, we have to walk out. James chapter 2 talks about this. We have to walk out our faith. Our faith is displayed by our works. And we can't say we have faith and, well, not sure about this or what's going on, you know, but I still have faith. But my fruits are maybe not of faith. So, Lord, help us to walk by faith. And faith requires obedience to God's word and to His plan for you. The fifth point I have is faith that overcomes the world. Turn to 1 John 5. We'll read 1 through 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So our faith overcomes the world. We have power through faith in Jesus Christ. And being born of God, a descendant from God, He calls us His children, His sons and daughters. And that we keep His commandments. And He says that whatever is born of God, it's going to overcome. It's a promise to us. If we're born of God, we can overcome the things that we perhaps struggle with. And being born again is getting a heart of flesh, a heart from God that He can mold. And that gives us victory when God is shaping us and guiding us. Gives us victory over our sin, our flesh, and the things that the world has to offer to us. And God is so much greater than the world. You know, sometimes we think that the world is attacking us and, you know, the devil's just rampaging. Perhaps he is. But God is so much greater. His power within us is so much greater that His promises that to His children, if we're born of Him, that we will be overcomers and we don't have to live in defeat. And with the pressures of young people, perhaps, and it seems like there's a time of life when we maybe tend to think, well, we can maybe do what we want to or do as I want to live my life, and, you know, I'm getting big enough, Dad's not my boss anymore, and that mindset. And the world says, you know, you're only one young one, so just go for it, you know, live it up a little bit, seek God, well, when you're old, you know, when you settle down. But that is not the calling of the gospel. Today, if you hear His voice, seek the Lord while He may be found today. And anything can happen. We're not promised tomorrow. There's different accidents that happen sort of out of the blue sometimes. Like, how did that come about that this life was taken, you know? And it's just an instant, and just a moment, just like that, and their life was gone. And then the question comes, were they right with God? Were they walking by faith? Or Jesus will return someday too, and we don't know when that is. And are we ready to meet him? Are we walking by faith? Are we living above the world, the flesh? And 1 John 2, 15 and 16, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So here's sort of like a big contrast, you know, the world and the kingdom of God. If we love that and we're not overcoming that, are we born of God? Because God promised us if we're born of him, we can overcome. God gives us the strength. He gives us the power. But we have to make that choice to walk by faith and not to walk in our own ways and the things that we want to do. The last point here is the trial of faith. Turn to 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, verse 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten again us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The trial of faith is not just all easy, perhaps, like we might wish it to be, you know. But I think God looks down. He sees us children faithfully following him, even though there's hard times. There is things that they face. There are things that come up, and there seems to bog them down, but they're faithfully. They're pressing on. They're trusting in him and in his promises and keeping their eyes on Jesus. And I don't know, is that what he says, that it is more precious than of gold that is tried in the fire, is how we can faithfully follow Jesus, even though it's hard, even though things go wrong and not everything is ideal. But let's get our eyes on Jesus and be faithful. And it says, receiving the end of our faith. When we reach to the end, there's where our salvation is, if we're faithful. There's many other verses we could turn to. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So faith is the shield as well. We can protect ourselves through faith in Jesus Christ. And in the Gospels, there's many examples of people with needs, with sicknesses, and all kinds of things that were wrong, and how they cried out to Jesus, and they received help when they had faith. When there was faith, God actually came and healed them, and there was just time after time through the Gospels how Jesus made mention of their faith. And there's a few times it says great, there was great faith. And it talks about just a small grain of mustard seed, a faith like that can move mountains, something that looks huge, bigger than what we can conquer perhaps. But if we have faith in Jesus, he can remove that mountain from us. So I want to encourage us all to take a step of faith. If God is leading you and you're facing something, take that step. Trust in him. Cast all your cares upon him, and he will lead us and he will guide us. God bless you.